I remember those is an exclamation that punctuates almost any conversation about Airfix kit sets. Growing up during the 1960s and 70s, building kit sets was very likely to have been a part of your childhood, especially, but not exclusively, if you were a boy. You'd spend hours hunched over a table assembling miniature do-it-yourself replicas of tanks, planes, cars, or ships. Your fingers would stick together from excess glue and the smell of enamel paints would fill the air. It was an imagination-filled pastime and sensory experience that beat doing schoolwork hands down. In New Zealand, the most likely source of kit sets that youngsters built was a British company called Airfix, an early leader in plastics manufacture. Airfix was founded by Nicholas Cove in 1939. The name Airfix denotes the inflatable products made by the company, such as swimming rings, baby rattles, and dolls' heads. After World War II, Cove invested in injection molding machinery and began producing combs from scrap plastic. In 1949, the Ferguson Company commissioned Airfix to construct a ready-made promotional toy tractor. Its popularity led to Airfix obtaining the rights to manufacture it for sale through retail outlets like Woolworths. In 1952, Airfix pushed ahead with plans to create a new kit set, Sir Francis Drake's famous galleon, the Golden Hind. The tiny model, which buyers had to assemble themselves, was sold through Woolworths and was enormously popular, especially at a time leading up to the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. The kit set came in a small plastic bag stapled to a header card, letting the buyer see the contents. Transparent packaging for smaller kits was to become a hallmark of the company, culminating in the introduction of blister packs in the early 1970s. The company's second kit set, a Spitfire aircraft, became an even greater sales success, and Airfix soon became the most popular kit set brand throughout Great Britain and the Commonwealth. In Palmerston North, Airfix products could be found in all of the department stores, as well as hobby shops like Hazeldon's, Price Cycles and Models, or Martin's Toy World. Airfix was even available in small suburban newsagents, such as those in the Terrace End, Rosland and Hokafitu shopping centres, which often doubled as toy and gift shops. The growth of the Airfix brand is interwoven with that of the baby boom generation. World War II was still within the memory of many adults in the 1960s, and the post-war years of technological advancement in aviation, motoring, space exploration and television gave Airfix ample inspiration when it came to generating new product lines. Not only did the name Airfix become synonymous with virtually any plastic kit set, but for decades, high volumes of Airfix toy soldiers were pirated as low-quality copies. In 2018, I donated 3 Airfix catalogues to Tumanawa. One is a first edition catalogue produced in 1962. The others are for 1966, 5th edition, and 1967, 6th edition, respectively. These predate my own kit set building experience, but I distinctly remember my brother's copy of the 1967 edition, its dramatic cover illustration of 3 Lightning jet aircraft in flight against a red background remains etched in my memory. The catalogues were given to me by longtime Palmerston North resident and model engineer Bruce Gienge, and with his permission I passed them to Tumanawa for permanent safekeeping. Other museums acknowledge the significance of Airfix to popular culture. The Powerhouse Museum in Sydney holds a collection donated by a former Airfix Modellers Club member, which includes a membership badge and a letter from 1970s club president, former British comedian Dick Emery. The largest collection I have located is at the Victoria and Albert Museum, London, and includes kit sets, kit set parts, drawings, illustrations and plans, together with a sizable collection of games and toys. Airfix held a license to produce many of these, marketed through a separate catalogue. Part of the V&A collection includes oil paintings used to illustrate the packaging of kit sets. Airfix's logo makes it one of the most recognised in the field of kit set modelling. The 1962 catalogue carries a simplified variant of what came to be the Type 2 logo, with italicised red lettering in a shadow font and no border. By the late 1960s, the catalogues carry the Type 3 logo, with white lettering on a black-bordered background and flared wings on the upper and lower edges. Whereas other manufacturers had moulded kit sets to fit inside pre-made packaging, Airfix applied the principle of constant scale to its models, allowing hobbyists to display their finished kits together in realistic groups. These catalogues are important reference documents for anyone wanting to research changes in kit set modelling, since they portray which kit sets were entering the range or being dropped in any given year. The catalogues also display a remarkable transition in illustrative style. While the 1962 edition cover features simple coloured line drawings that have a toy-like quality to them, the later editions displayed action-packed, lifelike illustrations. This might have been part of a more aggressive marketing strategy that connected hobbyists to the excitement of the jet age, alongside increased competition from other manufacturers. Airfix's historical models were also subjected to the same artistic treatment as its contemporary kits. Teenagers were trying to understand the comparatively recent wartime experiences of their parents and grandparents. Although the war, meaning World War II, was receding further into the past, talk of it still pervaded the family home. Changes in the styles of the catalogues suggested how the young were developing a more sophisticated, nuanced understanding of the wider world. A degree of authenticity came to be expected of products that modellers were buying with their pocket money or wages, which young people were earning in higher numbers than before. Since 1960, when the Airfix Modellers magazine had gone into production, the company had been receptive to customers' requests for particular sets. As Cold War-era geopolitics and the space race aroused curiosity amongst modellers, Airfix responded with a choice of kit sets, which by the early 1970s included spacecraft and even a selection of sets portraying Soviet-era subjects. The boys' own style of the catalogues marked a particular moment in time for Airfix. Heading into the 1970s, their catalogues began advertising models designed to appeal to female modellers, such as a show jumper, who bore an uncanny resemblance to Princess Anne, an avid horse rider, dinosaurs, and wildlife. Catalogue design underwent another transformation, appearing in portrait format with full-color cover photographs that portrayed model making as a shared, even wholesome, family pastime.